Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. Late in the morning of November 11, 1918, wild rumors began to surge through the trenches, stretching across France and Belgium from the English Channel to the Swiss border. Couriers rushed forward with the news. A general ceasefire would begin at 11 a.m. The Great War was going to end. German, French, and British soldiers were elated. Exhausted after 4 years of bloody, pointless fighting, they were now falling victim to a new enemy, a strange and deadly influenza. The news brought immense joy and relief. German soldiers rose above their parapets, clowning, dancing, and shouting, "Der Krieg ist über! The war is over!" Not so the Americans. General John J. Pershing, commander of the American Expeditionary Force, didn't care for the idea of a ceasefire. That morning, his division commanders relayed orders that until 11 o'clock, operations would be pressed with vigor. At 11, our line will halt in place and no man will move one step backward or forward. Until then, the attacks would go on. One of the units pressing on with vigor that morning was the 313th Regiment, known as Baltimore's Own, since that was home for most of the men. Among them was a handsome young man in his early 20s, with a clipped mustache that made him look more like a British officer than an American doughboy. His name was Henry Gunther, and he lived in East Baltimore, where many families, including his own, had relatives in Germany. Before the war, he had worked as a bank clerk and become engaged to a young German-American woman. He had also felt the sting of anti-German sentiment in the city and hated to leave his neighbors and his fiancée to face it without him. In France, he was promoted to sergeant, until the censors intercepted his letter advising a friend that conditions were so bad he should stay out of the army. The army quickly demoted him to private. To remove this humiliating stain on his record, he volunteered for the dangerous job of runner, carrying messages from headquarters to the front, and was soon wounded so severely that he could have come home had he wanted to. He chose to stay. By November 11th, the regiment had been engaged in heavy fighting for 2 straight months, but at 9:30 that morning, they fixed bayonets and went over the top one last time, into a marsh and toward a tiny spot on the map, Ville-des-Vents-Chaumont. Fog engulfed them, so thick their supporting machine gun company soon had no idea where they were. Then the German artillery opened up. Most of the shells sank harmlessly in the mud, but here and there one exploded and killed someone. The regiment kept on. Just before 11, German machine gunners defending Ville-des-Vents-Chaumont were about to celebrate the war's end when shadowy figures suddenly appeared in the mist. The Germans watched in amazement. An attack made no sense. When the Americans kept coming, they fired a warning. The doughboys fell to the ground as the bullets whizzed over their heads, and both sides thought that was the end of it. The time was 10:58. Then one lone American stood up. Henry Gunther thrust his bayonet forward and ran toward the German lines. His friends called to him to stop. So did the Germans. But Henry kept going. No one knew why. Perhaps he wanted one last chance to prove himself to his family and neighbors, or to those who harassed them. The Germans shrugged and reluctantly fired another short burst, lower this time. Henry staggered and collapsed into the mud. It was 10:59. 1 minute later, the trenches erupted in laughter and song and tears of disbelief. The war was over. Henry's final act of bravery, or desperation, regained him his lost honor. He was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross and restored to the rank of sergeant, posthumously. Henry also unknowingly claimed another distinction. In the 6 hours between the time the armistice had been signed at 5 o'clock that morning and the ceasefire at 11, 2,738 men had died. Henry Gunther of East Baltimore was the last of them, the last man to die in the war to end all wars.